Good morning. As we continue our two-week series on our core values to start off the new year, I'd like you to take your Bible and turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2. The core value we'll be talking about this morning is making disciples. Let's read together 2 Timothy chapter 2. Just verses 1 and 2, but then I'm going to really talk all the way down through verse 13. The Word of God says this: "You then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." Let's take a minute to pray together. Our Lord and God, we pray that you would help us as we read the Scripture to understand. Give us your Holy Spirit that we may understand the words you have given us through your servant Paul. And God, as we look at it this morning, I pray that you would help me to speak clearly. Help me to explain the things that you have taught us in this text. And we thank you most of all for the Lord Jesus Christ who died for our sins, that we might start a relationship with you, and that you might save us from the penalty of death. And God, I pray that you would help us to share the gospel with the lost people that we know. And we pray all this in the name of Christ. Amen. So as we talk about making disciples, the first thing that comes to mind when I think of make disciples is evangelism. And that is certainly one aspect of making disciples, but most of what we're going to talk about this morning is the rest of making disciples. What do you do with a disciple after they have trusted Christ? So when a person trusts Christ is when they become a disciple of Christ. And discipleship doesn't stop there. Making disciples doesn't just stop when a person trusts Christ as their Savior. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 28 just for a minute to look at what Jesus said in the Great Commission, which is probably what comes to everybody's mind first when you think of the concept of making disciples, because this is where Jesus says that we should go and make disciples. The Bible says this in Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20. "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." So Jesus here says that we should all go and make disciples, and that we should make them everywhere. All nations, all peoples, every language, we should go there and make disciples. And we are certainly the result of that. We are very far from where Jesus lived, where Jesus did his ministry, where Jesus died for our sins, was far from here in Israel, and we are the nations. We're in a sense the ends of the earth. And yet, from our location, we should be going to the ends of the earth, whether that is back to Israel or whether that is across the street, that we should be going and making disciples of all nations. And the Bible says, Jesus says to us, we should go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. So Jesus instructs us not only to tell people the gospel so that they might be saved from their sins and start new life in Him, but that the story doesn't end there, that our relationship with that person should continue, that after we have led a person to Christ, after we have introduced them to the good news of Jesus Christ, that we should baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's the first thing. That's the first act of obedience for a new Christian. But then also teaching them all that I have commanded you is what Jesus instructs us with. So I'm going to focus a little bit less this morning on the aspect of evangelism, because I think we've talked about that many times before. But I'd like to talk about the rest of that, the baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach them all that I have commanded you. And that's why I've decided this morning to talk about making disciples, not from a passage that's most directly about evangelism, but a passage that is more directly about what we might call discipleship, or training disciples, becoming more and more like Christ, because that's what a disciple is. A disciple is one who follows a teacher. A disciple, or we get the word discipline, to be disciplined is to be taught something. Many times we think of discipline in sort of a negative, non-enjoyable sense, but discipline in a general sense is to be taught, to be trained, to remove the rough edges and to be conformed to an image. And we as disciples of Jesus Christ are followers of Him. The picture of a disciple in the times of the Bible was one that followed a teacher, what they called a rabbi. You might find the word rabbi in the Bible. And that was a teacher. So a disciple was the learner. And they would literally spend all day, they would live together, they would spend all day, every day, with their teacher. So this was something that the 12 disciples did with Jesus, that we learn about in the Gospels, as they followed Jesus day in and day out and just learned from Him all the time, in times of formal teaching, but also in times of just living life together. So what does it mean to be a disciple, and what does it mean to be a disciple of Christ and to be discipled in the Christian faith? Well, I've said that the step one of discipleship is evangelism, that you can't be a disciple if you haven't trusted Christ as your Savior. So as we look at the process of discipling other believers in the faith, as we look at teaching them to be like Jesus Christ, teaching each other to be like Jesus Christ, step one is to ensure that the person is saved. Now, it doesn't make any sense to try to train a person as a disciple in Jesus Christ if they're not a disciple in Jesus Christ. That's like training a person to be a better basketball player when they're not a basketball player in the first place. It's like training a person to be a nicer lady when they're a man. It doesn't work. A person must be a disciple before you can train them in discipleship. And we see that in 2 Timothy chapter 2 here, where Paul says, "You then, my child, be strengthened in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." So Paul is reminding Timothy, "I know that you are a believer in Jesus Christ because I was there." We find a few indications in the letters to Timothy that Paul was likely the person that led Timothy to the Lord. He calls him my child in the faith, and he refers to him as my child several times throughout 1 and 2 Timothy. And this is one of those indications that Paul was probably there and was probably involved in sharing the gospel with Timothy and leading him to follow Jesus Christ. So he has already reminded him in chapter 1 that the faith that is in Timothy is a heritage of faith, that his grandmother had strong faith in the Lord, that his mother had strong faith in the Lord. And Paul, who likely led Timothy to the Lord, has reminded him here in 2 Timothy chapter 2 that you are my child in the faith. I delivered you to Christ. I brought you to Him, and that Christ saved you. So Paul was probably involved in Timothy coming to the Lord in that aspect that we call evangelism. I was once attempting to disciple a guy that was a few years younger than me. And honestly, to this day, I don't know whether the guy was a believer. And that made it really difficult. It was a situation where my youth pastor, I was a senior in high school, and my youth pastor came to me and said, "Hey, this guy who I think was a freshman or sophomore has trusted Christ as his Savior, and I need you to disciple him." And he kind of left it at that. I wish that my youth pastor had given me some more direction about how to disciple a person, or give me some tools, maybe met with me every so often to see how things were going. But he just kind of said, "Disciple this guy, he trusted Christ." So I started meeting with this guy Turns out this kid had been, it wasn't prison, but it was kind of prison for youth. There was an institution called Lyman Ward down in Alabama that was kind of like prison for children. And this guy had just gotten out of what amounted to prison there in high school. And like I said, I don't know whether he had trusted Christ, but in my few meetings with this guy, I certainly didn't notice any change in his life. He was a wild person. Just, you never knew what he was going to do or what he was going to say. And it made it very difficult as I attempted to, here, let's read these scriptures together. Here, let's try to memorize this verse. We're going to take a verse and try to memorize it. So step one of discipleship is evangelism. And that's what I want to remind you of this morning, because trying to train a disciple who is not a disciple in the first place is just not going to work. It's going to be very difficult. So step one of discipleship is evangelism. Now Paul goes on from verse 1 and he gives us a model of discipleship, which is where we're going to spend most of our time this morning. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2 gives us a picture of what discipleship is in the church and in our homes. Paul says, What you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to trust or who will be able to teach others also. So Paul says, what you heard from me, the things that I taught you when we were together, the things that I explained to you about the gospel, because Paul spent a lot of time with Timothy. Like I said, he probably is the one that led him to the Lord, and he spent a lot of time with him, training him as a believer in Jesus Christ, and ultimately installing him as the pastor of the church in Ephesus for some time. So Paul says, what you have heard from me, the things that I taught you. What does that mean for us? Is the things that we learned in the Bible, the things that we learned from Paul, because a lot of the letters here in the New Testament are from Paul. The things that we have heard from Paul, the things that we've heard in the rest of the Bible, as well as the teaching that we receive both in sermons and in Sunday school classrooms that we do right before the church service, we should put all these to practice in our own lives. So we need to be studying the Bible. We need to be reading the Bible on a regular basis, listening to the Bible, listening to sermons from faithful preachers that are actually preaching what the text says. And we need to put these things to practice in our own lives. So Paul says, what you have heard from me, for us that is what we have heard in the Bible and in faithful sermons. What should we do with that? Or I'm sorry, before we get to that, where did we hear this? Paul says that Timothy heard it in the presence of many witnesses. So this is a church context, that we as disciples are to be connected to the local church. That the Bible gives a picture of every disciple being plugged into a local body of believers. That there's no situation in the New Testament where a person trusts Christ, becomes a disciple of Christ, and is not baptized into a local church. That the place for a Christian to grow is in the context of a church. And wherever we find ourselves, if you move to a new city, one of the first things we need to find, in addition to a place to sleep, is a place to go to church. And our responsibility as a Christian is not to be anonymous, not to just fade into the background of a city where we live, but to get plugged into a local church, because that's the place that God has designed for discipleship to take place. As Paul describes here, there would be a pastor in the church who is training the members of the church who are able to train new believers in the church. Now the church, Paul says here, is a place of many witnesses. It's not some secret teaching that Paul has given to Timothy. This is a public place. The door is unlocked. They're in the back of this center aisle. Anybody can come in here. This is a public place. This isn't a secret organization. This is not a closed-door activity that's going on here. The church is a public place where all are welcome to come and listen to the teaching of Jesus Christ. And we as disciples of Jesus Christ receive our teaching at the church in a public place. That people around you, as well as any members of the public that wanted to walk in, would be able to see that you are here listening to the teaching of Jesus Christ. So Paul reminds Timothy, I told you these things in the presence of many witnesses. The church is a public place. Now there's a lot of authors of books and there's a lot of media members that would like to say that Christianity is some sort of secret teaching, that Christianity is some sort of code that has to be discovered or taught to you in some sort of secret way. That Christianity is something like the Freemasons, that nobody really knows what they do, and they have these closed doors and these closed meetings, and maybe they run the world, or maybe they don't do anything, and we don't really know. It's just an organization that people make movies about because there's this mysterious aspect to it. And people make those movies about Christianity also. That Christianity is this secret message that's communicated from one person to another behind closed doors, and that the teaching is passed down from Jesus through his disciples to others that secretly tell one another. But this is not the Christianity of the Bible. The Christianity of the Bible is a public message that's very clearly explained, that Jesus Christ died for our sins, that we all have the same sin problem, and we all need to be saved from our sin. Christianity is a message that is freely explained to the public. It's not a secret message. There's not a secret code in the Bible. It's black and white. It's on the page. You can read it. Christianity is not some secret society, but it's a place of many witnesses. It's a place where Paul explained to Timothy in the church with lots of people hearing, and most of those probably were believers that were gathered there, but there could have been non-believers in their midst, and there could be non-believers here in our midst that have come to visit. Come, you know, anyone can come in here. Like I said, we're not checking membership cards at the door. There could be anyone listening. We record these messages. They get published on the internet eventually, and anyone can listen to the messages that we preach here at Vine Street Baptist Church. This is a place where there are many witnesses. There's not a secret going on here. That the message of Jesus Christ is a public message. So Paul says, what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, what does he expect Timothy to do that? Entrust it to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. So Timothy's job as the pastor where he was serving was to teach the gospel to a group of people who were going to be able to teach others as well. So this is the model that, this is the picture, this is the structural diagram that Paul gives us for the church. That Timothy would be training and discipling a group of people who would be able to then disciple others, who are then able to disciple others, who are then able to disciple others. So this cycle is set up of discipler and disciplee. And just because you are a discipler doesn't mean you're no longer a disciplee. That we all ought to be both being trained by somebody who is an instructor in the faith over us and training others who are our instructees in the faith. And there could even be situations where two people are walking in fellowship of the Lord, who in one situation, one is training the other, in a different situation, that one's training the one who was training him. So the picture of discipleship in the church is one of training the new generation of Christians. Now, when I say a new generation of Christians, those who have trusted Christ, as I said, they have to be a disciple. Now, when a person when a person comes to be a disciple, when a person is born again in Christ, is not necessarily in the same order that we were born physically in this world, right? So what I'm saying by that is it's very possible and even likely that people trust Christ at an older age and may need to be trained in the faith by somebody that is physically younger than them. So a person could be, maybe there's a believer who trusted Christ when they were a teenager, who has studied the Bible, who has grown in Christ and is in their, maybe their 20s or maybe their 30s. And then there's a man who has trusted Christ just recently who's in his 40s or 50s. Is that out of place for the younger man to be training the older man? Well, if you think in terms of your spiritual life, that younger person physically is older spiritually than the older man. And so it's very likely in the church for things to be somewhat out of order, is what it would seem like, that there could be younger people training older people. Now, that's not always the situation. We are very blessed here at Vine Street to have many older saints who have been believers in Jesus Christ for a very long time. And we're very thankful here at Vine Street to have people who are both physically older and spiritually older who are able to disciple and train the younger believers in the church. So one generation trains another generation. As Paul describes here, that Timothy would entrust the message to faithful men who are able to teach others also. So this is a discipleship being a reproducing cycle in the church, that each generation is training the next generation of believers. You disciple someone, and they disciple someone else, and they disciple someone else throughout the life of the church. Now, in the church, Christians ought to be teaching other Christians how to grow in Jesus Christ. Now, there's a few different ways that that happens. One is the sermon. I'm teaching you guys about what the Bible says, what God has revealed to us through Paul that he wrote down in this letter to Timothy a long time ago. And part of discipleship is the sermon, that we all ought to be listening to sermons and receiving teaching about the Bible. But there's also one-on-one interaction between believers. Believers ought to benefit one another in discipleship. We ought to be walking through life together, training each other in Jesus Christ, pointing each other to how we can be more like Jesus each day. Now, my grandfather, he passed away about almost 2 years ago. It was in March, a year and a half to 2 years ago. And toward the end of his life, he talked a lot about this guy named Preacher Clark. He was a preacher that had been at their church that had really taken my grandfather under his wing and discipled him. Now, my grandfather, he first trusted Christ and then joined the church through being baptized when I was in about junior high or high school. So I was there. I remember when my grandfather trusted Christ, and even the other day when we were in Augusta, where my grandmother lives, Augusta, Georgia, she was talking about just how happy she was when my grandfather came down to talk to the pastor and trusted Christ with his life. And Preacher Clark, my pop-pop, I called him, pop-pop would talk about Preacher Clark spending just a lot of time with him. He took him door-to-door to share the gospel with other people. They would do the ministry of the church together, just day in and day out. Preacher Clark would spend time with my grandfather. And as I think about that, and as I heard the stories that my grandfather told toward the end of his life about Preacher Clark, who had died a few years before that, as I heard Pop-Pop talk about Preacher Clark, it struck me, as I'm training to be in the ministry, and as I'm currently one of the associate pastors here, and as I'm a chaplain in the National Guard, that I want to be preacher. I want to be Preacher Clark to somebody. Maybe there's somebody in my National Guard unit. Maybe there's somebody in this church or a friend that I'm walking alongside as we go through this life together, that maybe I can be Preacher Clark to somebody. And that's what I want to encourage you, to be Preacher Clark to somebody. grab somebody and walk through life with them. Take them under your wing. If you've shared the gospel with somebody, if you're headed to share the gospel with somebody, take them along and just let them watch you. Maybe they have something to contribute to the conversation, or maybe they're just going to watch you explain the gospel in plain words to another person. And they can learn how to explain the gospel to others also. Paul said to the church in Corinth in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1, he said, "Be imitators of me as I am of Christ." That's something that each of us should say. Not only be able to say, but to back it up by living out, being a concrete picture of Jesus Christ. Both formally teaching each other, as I mentioned, showing each other the truths of the Scripture, but also just be imitators of me as I am of Christ. Can we say that to each other? Is that something that you are able to say to your fellow believers? I'm going to imitate Christ. If you need a picture of that, look at me. Are you able to say that to your fellow believers? Be a concrete image of the Lord Jesus Christ. Of course, we say that with caution and with humility, recognizing that all of us sin, recognizing that none of us are the perfect image of Jesus Christ. But we humbly ask Jesus to help us be like Him and to encourage others to be like Him also. So that's the bulk of what Paul is talking about here with Timothy. And he says, I want you to take what I've taught you and you teach others who are able to teach others also. Now that's going to happen in the church. That's going to happen in your homes. Obviously we are attempting to evangelize our children, and as they become disciples, to train them in Christ also. And then Paul gives us a few examples of that here in the text. It might seem like he just changes the subject here, but he gives Timothy a few things to talk about. He says, I want you to take what I've taught you, teach others who are going to teach others. And then he lists out a few Proverbs, if you will. He describes a soldier and an athlete and a farmer. Let me read those to you. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 to 7 say this. Share in suffering as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No soldier gets entangled with civilian pursuits, since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him. An athlete is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. It is the hardworking farmer who ought to have the first share of the crops. And then in verse 7, Paul says, think over what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything. So he shares a few sentences here to encourage Timothy in his life, to give him a few examples, what I would describe as proverbs. He lists out three things here: a proverb about a soldier, a proverb about an athlete, and a proverb about a farmer, that all relate to the Christian life and what it is like to be a follower of Jesus Christ. So Paul lists out these three proverbs, and then he says, think about that and ask the Lord to help you understand what I'm talking about. All three of these things relate to living as a Christian, being a soldier who seeks to please the one that enlisted him, being an athlete who competes according to the rules, and being a farmer that works hard. And Paul just says, think about those things. I think that's a great picture of one of the ways that we can disciple each other in Jesus Christ. It's simply sending messages to one another. Maybe you do text messages, maybe you do Facebook, maybe you do email, or maybe it's an in-person conversation where you share a proverb. Hey, you know, following Christ is a little bit like such and such. Maybe you can draw an allegory from some movie that you've seen together recently, or some example that you've run into in life that, you know, this little aspect of the movie we just saw is a little bit like following Christ. Now, maybe you aren't so good at coming up with proverbs. Paul spouts off three here. Here's a proverb about a soldier, a proverb about an athlete, and a proverb about a farmer. And you might say, I'm no good at coming up with examples. I can explain to you some things, but when it comes to coming up with pictures and illustrations of how the thing works, I'm not that creative. Well, God thankfully has provided us a whole book of the Bible called Proverbs. So read the book of Proverbs, find a verse in there that God uses to explain something about the Christian life to you, and send it to your friends. Send them a text. Hey, look up Proverbs chapter whatever, verse whatever. So write a letter, send a text. Use your own proverbs and illustrations, if you'd like, to show your friend or your fellow Christian what it's like to live as a Christian, but also use the text of Scripture, the book of Proverbs, as well as the rest of the Bible, to encourage each other in Christ. And then Paul says, as we conclude this section, verses 8 through 13 are about centering everything on Jesus Christ. So let me read verse 8. Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, offspring of David, as preached in my gospel. So we should center everything on the gospel. As we train each other in Jesus Christ, as we train each other in life, we should not be distracted by just practical means of teaching each other how to navigate life. It's important to teach each other wisdom that is of some value, to take younger people and just say, here's how you live life. Here's how you navigate being married. Here's how you navigate raising children. Here's how you navigate jobs and learning at school. And this is how you do that well as a person that honors Christ. But it's easy to get caught up in the practical things and forget the not impractical, that's not what I'm saying is the opposite, but the day-to-day secular life things, as you will, because you can learn those from any old self-help book. But don't forget, as a discipler, not only to train each other in practical day-to-day matters, but to train each other in the gospel. Paul here says, remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, the offspring of David. We should center all of our teaching, all of our discipling the next generation on Jesus Christ. You may mentally work through a proverb, and it may teach on some practical aspect of life. But remember Jesus Christ and center everything on the gospel. If you learn from a Bible study book or a devotional, and there are a lot of them out there on the market, make sure that it's centered on Jesus Christ. If there's a book that you read day in and day out that just walks you through a little bit about God, it's common in devotional books to stay generic and to just talk about God, to just talk about God in this general sense, and to maybe even use a verse from the Bible. But if it never talks about Jesus Christ, then how is it different from a secular person that talks about God? How is it different from a person that has nothing to do with Christ but has read the Bible and found some useful things in there and gives you some tidbits of wisdom that they read in the Bible? Like I said, this is a public place. This is a public message. The book that we live by is available on every bookshelf in the world. If the message is not centered on Jesus Christ, then how is the discipler any different from a self-help manual? So we, as we train one another in Christ, should be committed to being centered on Jesus Christ, and we should be, as disciplees, as recipients of instruction, careful about where we get our instruction from. Is there a devotional book that you use? Is there a Bible study book that you use? A teacher that you listen to? If the main point at the end doesn't have anything to do with Jesus Christ, then they've missed the boat. Some devotional books talk about God without talking about Jesus Christ, and that's not the same God that we find in the pages of Scripture. So as we disciple and as we are discipled, let's remember to be centered on Jesus Christ. Paul says in verse 10, everything that I endure is for the sake of the elect. He was suffering during this time. That they also may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. So have you trusted Christ today? Have you put your faith in Him and become a disciple of Jesus Christ? Are you a follower of His? If you haven't, you can do that this morning. At any time, you can repent of your sin and say, Jesus, save me, just as each of us who are disciples of Christ have done in our lives. That we recognize, God, I am broken because of sin. I have this sin disease that I need You to cure. Jesus Christ will save you and start a new life in you that you can live for Him. Let's pray together. Our Lord and God, we praise You for the gospel. We praise You for the pages of Scripture because we learn in these pages about Jesus Christ who died for our sins to save us from who we were, to give us new life in Him. God, help us each day to live in such a way that would honor You, to say things to one another that would honor You. Help us to encourage each other as we navigate this life as disciples of Christ. God, show us how we can live each day more in line with Your teaching. We pray all this in the name of Christ. Amen. We're going to have a few minutes here where if you'd like to come down and pray with me about something, I'll be standing right down here as we sing a song together.
Like to stand as we respond.